Welcome to another exciting edition of Youth Unplugged right here on Radio Caribbean International. Yes, very, very interesting. And I love to see my young people doing big things. And this is why I keep on, no matter what, I keep on coming back to do this, because I just love this program so much. I'm excited to introduce my guests. Oh, I need to probably put down the video. I'm very excited to introduce my guest this afternoon, Kira. I hope I pronounce your name right, because you know me and the faux pas on the name, so if I did pronounce it wrong, sorry. Kira, right?
It's Kara.
Okay, because you know me and the faux pas on the name, so if I did pronounce it wrong, sorry. Kira, right?
It's Kara.
Oh, you see, a good thing I asked. I'm embarrassing myself. Kara, good afternoon, Kara. Thank you and welcome. Thank you so much for agreeing to talk to us right here on Youth Unplugged. Kara, you know the question we have to ask. People hate it. I ask it every week. Tell me a little bit more about yourself.
I'm 24 years old and I run a business, a skincare business.
This is so bland. That's it. Come on, I want more details. Let's talk from the start. Let's talk about your bringing up. I was about to say brought up. See, I was like, no, that's improper English. Let's talk about your bringing up. What primary school did you go to?
I went to La Flamengo Combine.
Okay, and so that means you're from that area, that side of the country. Yeah.
I was raised there, but I don't live there anymore.
Okay, cool. What was it like being raised there? Because, you know, when you talk about that the countryside, for lack of a better word, people are very tight-knit and it takes the whole neighborhood to raise a child. Was that the case for you?
Half and half. It was like everybody was one family, blood or not, we were all family. So, you know, like growing up, well, long ago, where your neighbor, if you were doing something on the road that wasn't good, your neighbor would punish you or teach you, or I should say correct you. That's how it was growing up.
That's pretty amazing. And that's probably like a reoccurring theme when we speak to people who are raised from the countryside, because like everybody's like, hey, if you do something, they beating you, and then when they go and tell your mother beating you back. Like everybody's like, hey, if you do something, they beating you, and then when they go and tell your mother beating you back. Like, hey, why are you're not representing me properly? Why are you doing that? You got to represent me. You're embarrassing me. You're embarrassing the family. I understand that. And after the after La Comingo Primary, what was your next 4-year studies?
Okay, so I went to Cassius Comprehensive. And from Cassius Comprehensive, I went to
SAFA. So at Cassius Comprehensive, were you very active in sports, education? But you look like a troublemaker. I guess
I'm not actually. I did cheerleading, if that's sports wise, yeah.
yeah, it can be considered sport. That's good enough. And
yeah, when I was a good athlete.
And when you went to St. Arthur, what is it that you studied?
That was more of a low-key thing for me. I wanted to focus more on my studies because it wasn't as easy as Pompery, where the teachers spoon-fed you, I would say. It wasn't like that at South. So it was more, I didn't really participate in sports or anything.
You know,
and I did the sciences, so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
and that's interesting, because I didn't have the opportunity to go to A-level. As soon as CXE finished on Friday, the Saturday I left the country. So I didn't really get the experience of the A-level. And that's a reoccurring statement I hear from people, is that it's so different. Like, they treat you like an adult. Nobody's going to make sure that you're in class. And nobody's going to say, oh, but your grades are not good. Everything. Like, oh, okay, all right, cool. So I guess that was that difficult, you said, adjusting to now being an adult at school?
It was at first, right? It was like, you know, in secondary school, you start at 8, you end at 3. And the teachers, they make sure you come to class, they make sure you're on time and stuff like that. At SAFA, my schedule was so out of place. Like, I had a class at 8, then I have a break from like maybe 10 to 1, and then I have another class at 1 to 5. And it was just, the teacher didn't care if you were there or not. Like, at first it was like, I felt a bit alienated, I'd say. But then, you know, with time you get used to it. So it had its perks, though.
Yeah, because yeah, you could be class in the way, go check that, and they call your mother.
And it was a long break, too. Yeah.
I imagine. You said you studied the sciences. Why the sciences?
Well, I did environmental science.
Okay.
And economics. So I did kind of like a mix of everything, but my main focus was environmental science. I did it because I always loved science, like from a child. Growing up, I wanted to be a doctor. Then I changed my career to a pathologist. And then when I got to SAF, I said I wanted to be an environmentalist. So it was, I was always stuck with the sciences, because at Compre, I did all three sciences.
That's amazing. That's pretty amazing. Don't ask me anything about physics, because I didn't do that. I definitely avoided that at every cost possible. So that's pretty amazing. And of course, at that age, you're expected to do that career path finding, so to say. So, you know, it's not normal. But I guess your life led you on a totally different path into entrepreneurship, still within the sciences, because dealing with what you do, it involves a lot of mixtures and concoctions and this and that. So let's slide straight into that. How did your business come about? And tell us about your business.
Okay, so like I said, at SAFA, when I reached SAFA, I had a lot of acne issues. And getting the solutions, like going to the beauty stores and stuff to get stuff for my acne and whatnot, it was kind of costly, and then most of them didn't work for me. So that's when I started dabbling in my own, you know, I went to YouTube, I did how much research, look for home remedies, and that's how K-Naturals was born. When I realized my products were working for me, I asked my friends, my family to try them out. And then they told me, well, why don't you help people your age, people that suffer acne and whatnot? And then 2 years later, here we are, still going strong.
Now, that's pretty amazing. At any point in time, weren't you afraid that, you know, you might have mixed something wrong and that you get burnt and you get some kind of reaction? Or did that even actually happen?
That's like my everyday fear. Especially when I'm formulating stuff. As, for example, like my soaps, like when I'm formulating my soap bars, I just always be afraid.
Now, walk us through the process of what it takes to create, for example, because I know you have a lot of products that you work with. I was on your site, your top site, order and thing, you know, and don't come and DM me to ask me for nothing, you know, order properly. Yeah, I see you doing your thing big. So let's talk about the process of like what it takes to make, for example, a soap bar. I tell you to give away your secret ingredients, but just walk us through the process of doing that.
Even if I gave you the ingredients, you wouldn't be able to do it like me.
All right. Big up yourself, my girl. So let's walk us through the process.
Okay. So my soap bars, we make them from scratch, basically. So the downside of it is the time period of how the soap must cure. So it's basically, so the soap bar is basically oil and butters and liquid water mixed together in order to make a soap bar, right? Like I was telling you, my fear is with the lye, because you know lye can be lye is erosive. So it's always I always have a fear that maybe if the lye fall on my skin or something like that. But put that aside. When making my soap, it takes about maybe like, it depends on how many batches I'm making at a time. So initially when I started up, I was making small batches. So like within an hour, I'd be done. But now it's like 2-3 hours, because I try my best to make like 100 soap bars within a day. So like the soap takes about 6 weeks to...
Are you serious?
Yeah, it does.
Oh wow!
6 weeks.
I thought it was like legitimately like putting a cake in the oven. You just leave it in the oven and it cook.
Oh no, darling.
Now you got
to have that process where you can do it like that. Maybe you get the base and then you just melt and redo it, whatnot. But since we do them from scratch, we have to give it time to cure. And the thing about it, the longer it stays there, the better it is.
Oh, it's almost like wine. Okay, I get you.
Yeah.
With a business like that, a lot of your raw material has to be sourced from overseas. And I guess also in this pandemic, it produces a whole lot of other challenges. Let's talk about the challenging aspect of the business. When you decided after utilizing your own products on yourself and said, yes, let me help other people, what were some of the challenges that you're faced with as a startup?
Okay, so the good thing about our business is that 90% of our supplies, we get it right here in San Jose.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
So we don't have to, it's not really a hassle for us to wait and custom clearance and flights and whatnot. We don't have that issue as much as other people that order overseas, right? For example, for the soap, our only disadvantage is the lye. We order the lye. So that's something that we have to wait for. Another challenge we had when we started was our containers and stuff. We ordered them, but now SNS have everything. So
I know, right? Like, big up SNS for entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
Talk about SNS should actually sponsor our Youth Unplugged. So I know they're probably listening. So I just putting it out there.
Like, big up SNS 1000 because they have like everything you need.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. The company, did you expect it to still be going at this stage? Did you? By the way, do you do this full time or do you do it as a part time thing?
It's a part time thing.
Okay, cool. How are you able to balance? Because if you tell me something taking 6 hours to cure, I know that's a lot of work, though.
My passion for it. You need time for what you love. So even if, like I said, I have a 9-to-5, right? When I get home, it's about 6. And if I see my stock, my soap especially, when I see it's going low, I try to make new batches so it will not run out as well. It still do run out, yeah? Before I restock. Because side note, my customers, I love them. The support is so unreal. Like, it's just...
No cry.
I don't know what to say.
No cry there.
But like I was saying, for example, if a work night and I come home and I say, okay, I'm going to make my soaps, I do what I have to do. I make the time for it. I probably take an hour nap or something, wake up early in the morning, like, or maybe wake up midnight and restock and, you know, do what I have to do. But like I say, you always make time for what you love.
Did you expect 2 years later to be still in the business? Did you expect by now you have folded and say, hey, I did this already. It was a good try. Are you satisfied with where you are? 3 questions in 1. I don't know which one you want to answer.
Okay. I'm going to give you one answer. You'll answer all 3. When I started, like maybe like 6 months in, I figured it would have stopped eventually. But then like after a year, I was like, you know what? That's what I want to do. Eventually, I'll leave my 9-to-5 and then go to that full time, you know?
I hope your boss is not listening.
I love, especially the feedback I'm getting from people. Like, they keep me going. Like, I shouldn't stop that business at all.
What are some of the best reviews that you've ever had that encourage you to continue?
I remember one time I got a review from a young lady. She was still at school at that time. And she was like, I said I didn't have my soaps run out, right? And she was like, what? How am I supposed to bathe? I was like, okay. Okay. It was a short tip. It wasn't even a review. It was just a comment that she made. And she's been with me for almost a year and a half.
That's amazing. Now, I tend to see a trend with people within that industry. You guys cater specifically for women. What happened? Fellas isn't beef too?
Wait.
All right. I purposely asked that question. There you go.
Let me tell you.
I purposely asked that question.
Initially, when we started, it was more because women are more into skincare and beauty, and you know, they care about their face. And for some reason, our skin react faster than guys. Like, you guys would just use a regular soba, and your skin would just be flawless, no issues. We'd use the same soba, and then we have acne all over the place. We have dark spots, we have all blemishes and everything. But then, going forward, a lot of women were saying, like, my husband using my soap too, like, I need one for him, my boyfriend using my stuff, my brother stole my soap, like, you know, stuff like that. And I was like, yeah, it's for both of you guys, it's not just for women. And recently we came out with the men's line where we have the body oil, the body scrub, and the beard oil. So that's just for guys. So, you know, y'all will say that that's your stuff.
As you can see, a man seems to be like beard oil, though.
Yes. We'll
talk after. And, you know, which takes me to the next part of the interview. We spoke specifically for in length about the soaps. Let's talk about the products that you do. What product did you start off first with, though?
My first product was a body scrub.
Okay. And now, how many products do you do?
Give me a minute.
Should I put the Jeopardy music?
You should. So currently we have 5 different soap bars. Mm-hmm. We have 2 foam washes. We have 2 moisturizing butters. That's already 9. We have 3 clay masks. That's 12. We also have the 2. We have 2 facial serums. We also have the men's line, which I told you about. Right. So that's an extra 3 products. I think we have about 27. So
27 products. That is amazing. And all these products you sell on your own. No, you're not in stores as yet. Is that intentionally so you could have a direct relationship with your clients, or probably later on down the line you plan to be in stores?
Currently I have a partnership with Nudge, where I do well, they sell a selective of my products at Marcy Mega on the weekends. I'm not sure if you're aware of that.
Yeah, because one of my friends, Lotus Cosmetics here, yeah, she does that with Nudge.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's it for now. I love the relationship I have with my customers.
Yeah.
Although I'm not the one doing the deliveries, and I think, like, if anybody's watching, that's probably the first time most of my customers have seen me.
Are you serious? Are you serious?
Yeah. The reason why I wanted the relationship with my customers to be genuine, and not because of who I am or where they know me from. Because a lot of people, when they meet me and they're like, oh, you didn't have it, I can't believe it. You have. Yes. Sometimes when customers ask me if it's made out of the brand, I feel shy to say it.
So that means I actually got you out of your shell, and I'm definitely
I'm so nervous. Like, if you take my blood pressure right now, you send me to the hospital.
Yeah, I know. Talking to somebody beautiful as me, that happens. I understand.
No, I'm thinking of all my customers that are watching me now. Like, hi, guys.
You see, I have to bust my bubble. So you see, I'm so vexed. But that's pretty amazing. So many products. And you know, doing such amazing things. What do you see the brand doing in the next 2 to 3 years?
For the next year, I think it'll be more. Well, we're trying to get our name international right now. So, I do have some international customers as well. So I'm trying to kind of broaden the brand. So I try to build a brand in a way that people trust the brand. You know, like some brands, you call a name out and then everybody have a good thing to say about it. this is what where I'm seeing us at in the next year.
That's amazing. That's pretty amazing. And I, let me tell you, I believe in. I that's one of the reasons why I like doing this program. I like to hear people's stories. I like to hear when people are letting us know all the amazing things that they're doing. So it's, I feel honored to have this discussion with you as you grow your company. Definitely something to inspire to other young people. Yeah. So kudos to you. Big ups to you. What's next? What would eventually... Now, before I ask that question, I just want to let you know your boss might be listening. So I'm going to ask the question now. What would eventually lead you to say, you know what, I'm going to pursue this full time?
I shouldn't answer that question. But eventually, my passion will overlap my 9-to-5. There'll be a time where the demand would be so high that I'll have to leave what I do for what I love.
Yeah, that's amazing. I'm not even going to ask you what you do. I leave that to your private life.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ask you what you do.
If you know, you know.
Say again?
I said, if you know, you know.
All right, cool. All right, well, if I know, I know and I don't need to know. That's pretty amazing. As we get set to wind down the interview, it's always good for us to take a little time out. You know your journey, you know your struggles. And again, the purpose of the program is to inspire young people like us. Well, I'm almost not young anymore, into doing entrepreneurship. What are some of the advice, if you were supposed to give them three pointers on how they could get into entrepreneurship, what would three things that you would say, what would it be?
Okay. My first advice would be, do it for the love of it and not for the money. My second advice is, do your research. Do your research. Side note, I have a lot of people that come to me and ask me like simple like questions where, for in terms of business, like how they do certain products and whatnot. And I seen like, if you were to do your research, like do intensive research, the questions you asking me, yes, I answer, but I'm saying like the questions you're asking me, you wouldn't have to. You understand?
Yeah.
The third one I'd say is, if you go to the bread aisle in the supermarket, there's a lot of different bakeries that provide bread at Massey. Or any supermarket. So not because somebody's doing it mean like you shouldn't do it.
Wow.
Nobody has seen what you do. For example, the turmeric soap bars, my turmeric line, there's a few people that do turmeric products as well, but it's not like mine.
Yeah.
You understand? So don't be discouraged because somebody else is doing what you wanted to do or what you think you're good at or something you love to do. So yeah, that's basically it.
Now I want to stress. I want to go to number one. You say don't do it for money, my girl. You serious?
Yes.
Real?
Because let me tell you, and that's something a lot of people don't speak about when you're running a business. If you see, just like the tourism sector, there's the peak, and then there's the closed season, the open season.
Mm-hmm.
When you're running a business, there's a lot of times where you have a closed season more than an open season.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But if you're doing it because you love it, it will push you. You understand? But if you're doing it for the money, it will discourage you because you see like, oh, this month you didn't do too well. The past 3 months you were not doing your target. You understand? But if it's something that you love, you'll put your all into it. Despite what's going on, whatever they're throwing at you, you'll fight for it.
That's amazing. That's well said. Not a lot of people would see business that way at such a young age, and that you could already establish that. And not only that, when I was reading your bio, one of the things that struck me, which I didn't even really mention throughout the course of the interview, I think you did, though, is that you found that, you know, things were expensive. There was a need for quality products that were not so expensive. And you found a need, which is the first and most important part of business, finding something that need and finding a problem and creating a solution. And to me, that's quite the essential, the epiphany, the top reason for going into business. So I think you found something right, and you found something good. You've also not forgotten about us. You created the beard oil and things, so you could look fresh.
Yes, I didn't forget.
So definitely.
My products are for everybody.
Right.
My youngest customer is a toddler.
Wow.
Yeah, he's probably about 3 or 4 now.
Wow.
And his mom normally the one ordering his products, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then one time his dad came with him and he came to pick up and he's like, "Let me tell you, your soap is my neem and aloe soap. It's for eczema."
Mm-hmm.
And you know, a lot of kids, they have eczema.
Yeah,
and the dad was like, "Your soaps really work. That's why we buy them so often." And he's showing me his son's skin and everything. And I was like, "Oh my goodness, that's me. Me. I'm doing this. I'm doing that."
That's a really amazing.
So things like that keep you going.
Really amazing, really amazing. Mm-hmm. And I wanted you to continue that same energy. And another thing that I like about you too is that people will come and ask you questions, and you know, like, "See, that is my business. You want to know?" And you share the information. And again, that's two of the most important things of business: sharing information, doing it, problem solving. So kudos to you. Now, I talk enough. It's now time for you to give people how they can get in contact with you, your social media handles. Let them go check out your products.
Okay, so you can find me on Facebook, Care Naturals, KERNATURALS 758. You can also find me on Instagram at Care Naturals. You can message me or call me at 728-6318. And if you want to make an order, I have a link to my online shop on my Instagram.
Yeah.
Once you message me, I'll send you the link as well.
She specifically says, "Don't DM me. No, go and order."
Yes, because I like people to, you know, the communication is better when you order online. And no, you don't have to use your credit card or your bank card. You just make the order, you pay in cash.
That's amazing. And she does deliveries down in Viewfort specific days.
Yes.
At the Central Library. Yep. Yeah, I know all your business. I have to do it. I know toot my guy. Yeah. Thank you so much for taking this time out to talk about your business. And we wish you all the best. And we hope to see you in our Millionaires Club soon. Yeah.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Youth Unplugged right here on Radio Caribbean International. Of course, brought to you the kind compliments of our sponsor, Bank of St. Lucia. All the bank you need.